takes his sweet time. But if Ren is even one day late, I know I'll make him scream. Buddy, you might own this house, but you don't own me. I respect you even if you're somebody that I can barely stand. But how can I respect a man who only makes his money off the land? Sirens blare across the street. I can't afford to pay the heat. I'll kill myself at 27.
Hey folks, Joey Chaos here, and you're listening to Oh No Radio on CJSF 90.1 on your FM dial. We are broadcasting to you over the stolen and unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Peoples. On today's show, we are interviewing. We're having a great interviewing, sounds weird. We're having a chat, hanging out. I'm losing it. It's been a long day. With King Bob Jackson McDonald, the musician and artist from Victoria, BC. We just listened to the track, Something Belonging to Others, off of his latest album, Rookie. Yeah, we talked about that track a little bit before we actually got into it. So I actually want to know a little bit about your band, because I keep referring to, like, you, the artist behind it. But,
sure, right, yes.
And I think just with a name with King Bob, it sounds very singular, but, you know, you got a whole court, don't you?
The comparison I always make is Alice Cooper is the singer for Alice Cooper. Right?
Nice.
Like, it's King Bob is me, and then it's also a band, but I designed it to for there to be the understanding that, like, there's a pecking order. And I mean, I guess nothing could make that more clear than literally calling myself king and putting a crown on my head that I wear for every show and every, like, press release and every
and it's a fantastic
thing we've
look.
Ever done.
It's so good.
It's a good look.
I'm a bit of a diva myself. I'm also a musician. I go by the name mm-hmm. Joey Chaos, and for years I just went under the name, with a full band, under the name Joey yeah. Chaos. And to me, and not to say anything about what others are doing is wrong or anything, but, like, to me, I'm just like, I can't do this anymore. So that's why we added Joey Chaos and the Ghosts.
And the Ghosts.
And
yeah,
I felt
totally.
Like, I mean, because I was doing a lot more of I was doing the majority of the writing when we first started. It's a bit more egalitarian, which I'm really appreciative about. Now, but I feel it's a bit of a shield for my bandmates not to do as much. If it was just Joey Chaos, I'm like, no. You take some of the responsibility as well.
Yeah, I get that completely. Like it's so we kind of became a band in the process of recording the album. I would say, like the other person involved in the project who really needs to get his due is Evan, the drummer and producer, because there would not be a band without him. There wouldn't be a band without me, and there also wouldn't be a band without him. He played all the drums, he produced the record, he does so much of the annoying grunt work that I'm no good at, that I'm trying to get better at so I can relieve some of the stress that he puts himself under. But you know, it started out, it was gonna be me playing everything on it. And I did play most of the instruments on it, but we added some people in over time, a couple of guitar players, Jess, Evan's older brother, who contributed a couple of really crucial things. He contributed the lead line on Angus and on Figure It Out and some other additional guitar and a couple other places. Reed, the other guitar player, who played, I think, one of only two guitar solos on the record on Rad Pills. And then Jimbo, who's been kicking around as our bass player for forever, who isn't really on the album that much, but has been with us every step of the way as we play live. The process is going to get more collaborative, I think. And yeah, I tried to design it in a way where it could be collaborative or not. You know, whoever is available, we're all old, we're all busy, we all have other stuff going on. So if people are available and they want to contribute and they are able to contribute and have the time, then great. And then if they can't, then I'll just go back to making albums with GarageBand drums where I play everything. That's fine. I can do it either way, and I'm happy to do it either way, but I am glad to have collaborators who I get along with really well and who are also like good at what they do.
And also for Jimbo, just to be around, he is like a force to be reckoned
with. Absolutely.
And like just having the aura of Jimbo is going to change what happens, whether it's intentional or not. I guess going back to Evan, Evan's also like a very like accomplished musician. I mean, everyone in King Bob is, but Evan is also, he is of this. Mm-hmm. He also is a recording engineer in Victoria as well. And as you were saying earlier in the interview, started Last Marmot Records, and as you're saying, this might also be one of the last releases on Last Marmot Records.
Yes,
hopefully
yes.
The King Bob touch brings it to keep going further than that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just want to know if you could talk a little bit about the recording process, just because I know like it's more than just an album; like it's almost like a body of work in a way.
Well, it's we did it in an interest, well, in sort of an interesting way. I basically, when I started out writing a lot of these songs, and for most of my you know, illustrious music career, I didn't really know anything about the technical side. And so a lot of these songs were like beating my head against the wall, trying to figure out what I was doing, trying to get people together to hash them out. And then eventually, what I ended up doing was I got Reed to help with the programmed drums on Depression Mode, which is the first thing I sort of like officially put out, the EP Depression Mode, which is all programmed FL Studio drums that Reed did for me, but also you know, he also had to decipher a lot of kind of cryptic instructions from me as well. Like he would send me a drum track back and I'd be like, this is pretty good, this sounds close to what I want, but can you make the snare sound more like a tin can? or can you make the drums don't sound dinky enough here? Like that kind of thing. And
those
then,
are actually pretty solid mixing instructions. That's pretty good.
Fair enough. And then, you know, through the process of doing that, I realized like, this is great. You're doing a great job. I really appreciate your help, but you got to just come over and teach me how to do this. And so he did, which was Reed taught me how to program drums. And he taught me how to use Audacity and do the podcast. So like in this sort of remote way, he's been very important in my life and in King Bob and in the process of making the album. But he sort of taught me how to do that, and then I was able to actually finally build demos for the first time because I'd learned how to record from doing the podcast, and then now I knew how to program drums. And so now it's like, okay, well now I can just make songs on my own. And so I put together what was originally 19 demos. I figured out a track list that I liked. And then we took those demos. And since they were all more or less arranged exactly the way I wanted them to be, those were our scratch tracks. So we went into the quote unquote studio, which was actually just Evan's living room at the time, with completed scratch tracks for 19 songs. And we recorded the drums first over top. Ev's a good drummer. He's capable of doing that. And then, you know, guitars, bass, vocals, etc., until we finally had an actual complete song. And if you actually listen to the album, there are a couple of brief moments where it is actually still the MP3 quality demo that is playing there. There's the guitar break in Try, the intro to Suns Out, Guns Out, and then the breakdown in Minimum Wage are all just the demo that was, you know, just massaged slightly by Evan in the mixing and mastering process. Oh, and then the intro of Midas as well. That's all identical to what's on the demo, which is kind of fun. It gives it a certain character, just these little lo-fi MP3 moments that I get a kick out of now when I listen back to the record.
Cool. So I want to know, I want to listen to another track. So I kind of want you to pick a track that really encapsulates what kind of Evan brought to it with his mixing and mastering, like one that you'd be really proud of sharing.
Well, I almost feel like this was you planned this out specifically to get me to pick the song that you said was your other favorite.
Because
it is more or less, I guess it is probably the most ambitious or interesting production wise, and that would be Why No Ghost of College. We'll be right back.
Hey folks, Joey Chaos here. You're listening to Oh No Radio on CJSF 90.1 on that FM dial. We're broadcasting to you over the stolen and unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Peoples. If you're just tuning in, we are having a full-length interview with Jackson McDonald, the man behind King Bob, an absolutely fantastic Victoria-based pop-punk outfit. They just released the album Rookie, and can't recommend it enough. And we just listened to the track Wino Goes to College. I'm just kind of wondering, like, what motivates King Bob? What motivates you to be doing this?
I wasted a lot of time when I was younger and should have been doing this, not doing it and not taking it seriously and not really having the kind of respect for the, this gets very, you know, navel gazy or whatever, but not really having the respect for the art form that I should have had. And I really regret that. And instead I kind of chased things that I thought would make me more respectable or more, taken more seriously or more, like, I guess, successful in some kind of way. And what I found is that none of those things actually happened, and instead I just kind of lost my identity. I didn't get a lot out of going to therapy necessarily, besides eventually an ADHD diagnosis. But one thing I did get was the advice to stop worrying so much about goals and think about living your life in accordance with what your values are. And if you do that, then the other stuff will kind of seem small by comparison. And so I don't know. I'm not going to have kids, and I'm not old yet. So I kind of had to hit the ground running, and I kind of had to be passionate about it and kind of try to take it as seriously as you can, wearing a crown made out of a baseball cap and a Hartford Whalers Letterman jacket, you know, like, not too seriously, but put the work in, I guess, because what else am I putting work into that's going to be as worthwhile as this, you know? Nothing. Well, and you mentioned catharsis, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, you're right. That is a huge part of all of this, because I sort of looked around and I felt like, why does no one write songs about, like, the things that I'm experiencing that I know are not universal, but so common, right? Like, so much of music, popular music anyways, is about, like, my girlfriend broke up with me or I'm horny. And those are two really universal experiences, but they do not even scratch the surface of the breadth of human pain. And, you know, there are a million songs about I'm sad because this girl doesn't like me, or this guy doesn't like me, or whoever doesn't like me. But I can only think of three songs about doing dishes, and doing dishes sucks, and doing dishes as a job really sucks, and doing dishes and for 8 hours and then going home and you can't do your own dishes because the sight of them makes you want to throw up, and that is for working class people anyways, that is a universal experience of, I work so hard today for everybody else and now I can't get my own life in order. Housing insecurity that I've experienced, you know, the only real example I can think of like modern music addressing housing insecurity is the Jeff Rosenstock album Worry, which is one of my favorite albums, a huge influence on me. Like, there's not a lot you can provide people with as an artist anymore, but catharsis, naming the problem, or like at least reminding people that they're not alone, and that they're not, like, they're not wrong. You're not wrong for wanting this or wrong for thinking you deserve better or for just noticing that things suck. And I don't even know if catharsis is a positive thing in terms of like the social effects or the political effects, but I know it like makes me feel better, and I hope that something on the album, you know, connects with people in that way and makes them feel better.
Thank you for that. And we're kind of getting close to time here now, so I feel really bad rushing you off here, but I'm just kind of wondering what's next for King Bob.
I have 3 different folders that have songs in them for 3 different albums. One of them's done. We're gonna start working on it soon. The other two are gonna take more time to finish, but I'm going at a work rate right now where if we play our cards right, we can always be a release ahead, like in terms of material. And I guess I may as well announce both of these things here, but I'm planning on launching a Patreon in the new year at some point, so that people can get access to those demos and help me financially turn them into actual like finished product. And I'm also really excited. We literally just filled out an order for jade vinyl today. Whalers nice. Green jade vinyl. So the album's going to be available on vinyl if you come see us at some point in the new year. Probably you'll be able to get the record on vinyl, which I'm elated by. So yeah, that's what's up in the immediate future.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Jackson, for being on today's show. We really appreciate it. If you're just tuning in, too bad, we're tuning out, because this is the end of today's episode of Oh No Radio on CJSF 90.1 on your FM dial. And just a reminder to stay tuned for the shows coming up next. Slumber Party for the best in talk in music, highlighting female artists. Following that, Revolution Rock for 60s garage rock, 70s punk, new wave, surf, alternative, and indie. And at 8 p.m., we have Bitcoover, chiptune, and video game culture. Thanks for listening.
Awesome.
To give that little stinger there, Jackson. Jackson, what is a song that you can end our listeners with on today's show?
I'll give you a choice. They'll both require edits because of swear words, so just Midas or Figure It Out, whichever one you prefer. I'll leave it up to you.
Oh, I think I'm going to have to do Figure It Out, because that was one of the first releases from this cycle that I listened to. All right, Jackson, thank you so much. You take care. Everyone there in Radioland, be good to each other, and bye-bye.